Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. And that's a beautiful song. Thank you so much. I try to imagine, as I read the scripture, try to kind of see all the things that are going on and try to imagine the events as they unfold. And, of course, God gives us his word and certainly paints a very good picture so that we can do that. And in my mind, I imagine this event taking place. And of course, we've read this before, we've seen it before, but again, we see the disciples toiling and rowing. They're in the midst of the sea. They're toiling. The Bible says the wind was contrary. It's the fourth watch of the night, and Jesus is walking on the sea. They see him walking on the sea, and they're crying out, and obviously they're afraid. They're afraid not only because of seeing him, but they're also afraid because of the waves and the storm and everything. And of course, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And then he goes to them into the ship, and the wind ceases and everything's all right. But the Bible says they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. They just couldn't believe it. I mean, one minute they're panicking, they're all going to die, they know it, it's over. And the next minute, everything's calm and peaceful and everything's all right. But I like verse 52. And as I read verse 52, it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." I go back to the miracle of the loaves. And the Bible says, in reference to that, in verse 43, the Bible says, after the miracle of the loaves, and you know the feeding of the 5,000, that's what we're going to talk about today, but the Bible says in verse 43, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And I got to thinking, Brother Hawkins, what'd they do with those baskets? Where were those baskets? And in my mind, you know, the ship in New Testament time wasn't necessarily a big ship. And so in my mind, I envisioned each one of them having a basket in their lap while they're rowing. And here's this storm, and here's this basket of bread and fish that they've just received because there were 12 baskets full that were left over. And being good Baptists, I mean, leftovers are always good, amen? And they had, in my mind, I see each one of them has a basket on their lap, and they're rowing. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? We're all going to die out here. Oh, wonder where God is. Where's Jesus? How can we survive this thing? And there's their basket on their lap. What's that basket mean? Well, it means supper. But it also means, did God just do a miracle? Did God just do a miracle? And I love the scripture, the way it says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, today, what is God, what's sitting in your lap that God did for you, you're not thinking about? What miracle did God just do? I mean, this just happened. What miracle? What great thing did God just do? What is it in your lap today you're not considering as you panic? What is it you're not thinking about as you worry? What is it you're overlooking because God says their heart was hardened? What is it that is, you know, you're missing? It's on your lap. It just happened. What is it you're missing? By the way, that's one reason why when you get a chance to give a testimony, give it. When you get a chance to give a praise, give it. Write it down. Put down what God's done. Because obviously the disciples, the circumstances, the storm that was raging around them, it was to them bigger than the basket that was sitting in their lap of a miracle that God had just done. I'm sure, and we'll see this as we go through this, I'm sure that at the time that they are passing out the bread and the fishes from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to feeding 5,000 men plus their wives and children, possibly 15,000 to 20,000 people fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. I'm sure that those disciples, when that all happened, they were in shock. Wow! How can this be? I mean, we had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we're still passing it out. It just continues to grow. We're feeding everybody. and at the end there's 12 baskets. I'm sure that they were in awe. Wow, Jesus, you're so great. You can do anything. But how long? It just was a short amount of time. With the miracle right on their lap, they're wondering, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do? Aren't we like that? We sure are. You think about it this morning. What miracle is sitting in your lap today? What is it that God did for you? And you know God did it, no question about it. But your heart has gotten hard toward it, and you're forgetting how great God is. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts and give us what we need today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Look in your lap this morning. Every one of us that is saved today can point to our salvation. What a miracle of God. Is it still a miracle to you? Is it still a miracle like it was when you got saved and the reality hit you that your sins were forgiven? That life that had caused you to feel so much guilt and to fear so much eternity because you knew you were going to go to hell. That life that was so wicked and God changed it like that when you called upon the name of Jesus. Have you sort of forgotten about the excitement that you had when you got up from the altar or you got up from where you prayed or you opened your eyes and you realized, hey, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven someday. I'm a child of the King. Glory to God. Have you forgotten about that? Is that the miracle that is on your lap today that you've forgotten about in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the storm raging all around? Have you forgotten as you say, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't see how we can pay the bills. I don't know how I can get through this situation. Is that the miracle? Maybe it's the miracle of an answer to prayer. And it just happened. You had an answer to prayer and God provided. God met a need and God miraculously did. And you know that it was God. But you forgot. Is that what's sitting on your lap today? Consider the loaves. Consider the loaves. Again, this is a favorite and a familiar passage. I want to give you five things about it. That we'll just go back and we'll consider the loaves today and the miracle that took place with these loaves. Number one, we see the call. And in verse 31, the Bible says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And Jesus said, come. Jesus said, come. And he said, and rest a while. Boy, I like that. Earlier he had said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. You know, Jesus always is offering rest. Now, certainly the disciples would have been excited about this because I believe the disciples were wore out. You know, as a servant of the Lord, you can get wore out. You say, oh boy, I'll tell you what, I've been serving God. I'm exhausted. I'm wore out. And certainly that can happen. And this was the first preaching tour. And there were a lot of people and there was a lot going on. They were so busy, there wasn't even time to eat. Sounds like a bus route, doesn't it? Sounds like maybe a whole day of soul winning or something like that. And the disciples, literally, they were just wore out. And let me just stop and say here, you know, Christians do need to rest. There is nothing good about that guy that says, well, you know, I've just been busy serving God. I don't ever rest. I don't ever. Well, one of these days, you will rest. You're going to rest. So we do need to rest. Nothing wrong with that. And Jesus here offers them rest. And he says, hey, come yourselves apart into a desert place. Rest a while. And again, why is he doing that? Because he has a miracle he's going to show them. He has something he's going to do. He has a miracle. Have you ever been there where you just say, you know, I'm exhausted. I can't go on. I can't make it. But Jesus has a plan. And he's got it all figured out. By the way, folks, in everything, he's got it all figured out. All right? Understand. And everybody here, let me get you to do something. Make a covenant today that before you read your newspaper, before you turn on the news, before you listen to your radio guy, before you do any of that, just get alone with God and say, Lord, I know everything's okay. I know you've got it under control. You know? Because God, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. He has something he's going to do. He has something he's going to do. And he calls the people together and says, he says, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Do you understand, though, that in his call, he's taken them all away from McDonald's? Which, by the way, is a blessing. But he's even taken them away from Golden Corral. Yeah. Wow, now some of you are suffering. Yes. He's taken them away from any hope of that. They're going, where are they going? Desert place, right? No Bob Evans. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, your favorite steak place. It's not there. They went to a desert place. It says they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And they're going to a place where there's no food. There's going to be rest, but there's not any food. You say, boy, it just doesn't look like God knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. You say, well, you can say that, preacher, but they're talking about layoffs. They're talking about closing down my factory. I understand. And he knows that. He might think you need the desert. Yeah, but there's no pizza in the desert. Yeah, he knows. He knows. Amen. I love this story because of everything. It all goes against what we think. Well, Jesus is going to feed a whole bunch of people. I'm sure he's going to call them all together to the Golden Corral. No, he's going to call them together to a desert. Why? Because look, if it can be done by man, it's not a miracle. The call. Number two, we see the crowd. And the crowd's interesting because verse 34, it says, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. There's a whole bunch of them. Some of them, the Bible, I like it in verse 33, it says, and outwent them. They ran to where he was going. While Jesus, they went across on a ship. These people, they outwent them. They wanted to be around Jesus. Now, that crowd followed for a lot of reasons. Let me ask you a question. Why do you follow him? It's so easy for us to look at a crowd and figure, well, let's see. I'm sure there were a lot of different ideas. Some of them were just curious. Some of them wanted to be healed. Some of them wanted to see a miracle. A lot of people saw Jesus as a magician and not as a savior. A lot of people today see him that way too. How do you see him? You see him as just another man? You see him as a good teacher? Do you see him as an example? Or do you see him as your savior? Again, it goes back to what's in your lap today. What does Jesus mean to you? What has he done for you? That's why you ought to always give an opera, always give a testimony when you get a chance. What has he done for you? If we were to go around this room today and say, okay, what is the last thing Jesus did for you? What would you say? I mean, really, if you're honest, you'd say, well, I'm in church today. Jesus did that because the Bible says he died for the church. What is the last thing he did? Well, I mean, if you'd be honest, you could say, well, I got to hear the Bible today. I heard the Bible taught. I heard it preached. There are people all across the world that don't get to hear that. I'm asking, why did you come today? Why are you here? Why did you follow him? You know, some folks, it's just popular to go to church. I know in Bern, Indiana, where we started a church 26 years ago, it was very popular to go to church. I mean, you just went to church because everybody goes to church. Now, I know it's not like that here necessarily. It's not like that in most cities. But some folks, it's popular to go to church. If you're going to have a business, you got to go to church and all that. So why do you go to church? Why do you follow? All this crowd here, they all had a reason. Now, Jesus is about to do a great miracle, and they're going to be part of it. But, it's interesting to look at the crowd. Why do you go to church? Habit? Why do you go to church? Well, my parents make me go. Mm. Yeah. Why do you go to church? Well, preacher gets after me. That's why I go to church. Yeah. Why do you go to church? I'll be honest with you, most of us did not come today looking for a miracle. Hello? Most of us did not come today looking for a miracle. Well, we just go to church. I mean, it's something we do. When is the last time you came to church looking for a miracle? Now, I'll be honest with you, these folks, These folks had outwent them. They must have been expecting something to happen. Hey, did you expect anything to happen today? Now, I'm going to tell why. I'll be honest with you. This is why so many folks, and I had to get after myself on this one, but why so many folks, church is just, it's kind of a habit, and it's why we come to church and we sit here like this. Because we're really not expecting anything to happen. I mean, I'll be honest, we sang the song, Revive Us Again, and a lot of folks just sang it. You didn't even think about the words. Right? Well, revival, I got plans. You know, the crowd, let's just say, let's just imagine this, all right? We found out Jesus was speaking somewhere on Monday, and he was going to be here, and we knew this to be true. Jesus was actually going to come, and he was going to be there. Why would you go? Well, preacher, I think I would probably be there because I love him, and I want to see him do something. I want to tell him about, you're going to tell him about your finances, and you're going to tell him about your health, and you're going to tell him about all those kind of things. But again, why did you come today? Were you expecting anything to happen? Most of this crowd didn't have any idea what was going to happen. I'll be honest with you, disciples didn't know either. You say, how do you know that? They said, tell them to get lost. We don't have any food. By the way, typical assistance. Anyway, that would be Tim. Pastor, there is nothing in the budget for this. There is no way we can feed all these people. But that's what he's supposed to do. Bring it to reality, and then we trust God. But anyway, think about that, though. Why are you here today? I'm not trying to. I'm glad you came. I'm thrilled that you came. But we ought to all ask ourselves, because I'll be honest, sometimes I come to church and don't expect a thing. And that's a terrible thing, isn't it? And you know what we're doing? We're doing exactly what the Bible says the disciples did when they were out in that boat and they were in the waves and they were being tossed to and fro. We're not considering the loaves. You know, the day that I was saved is the greatest day of my life. I mean, but do you know that it was just another church service where God spoke to my heart about that? It was a service, an evening service, pretty much like our evening service will be. And the preacher preached on the second coming of Christ, and pretty much like any other service, gave an invitation. I didn't go, and I sat there and was stubborn, held on to the back of that pew, didn't do anything, but something was happening. God was working. And you know, folks, the crowd, they filed out and left, but God was dealing with this boy. And something happened, and a miracle took place. Oh, it was several hours later, but a great, great miracle took place in my life. Hey, what are you looking for to happen when you come to church? Are you looking for God to do a miracle? Number one, we see the call. Number two, we see the crowd. Number three, we see the Christ. And the Bible says in verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. I'll be honest, do you want him to move with compassion toward you as a crowd today? Did you come because you'd like Jesus to have compassion? But it says here, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were his sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Because he recognized they were like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place and now the time is far past. They realized, they looked around, there's no mall. They looked around and there's no Little Caesars. There was a Big Caesar, but he wasn't there. I mean, they looked around and they said, there's no Burger King. They looked around and they said, this is a desert place. Verse 36, they say, send them away that they may go into the country, round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And we see the Christ, we see him doing what he does. We see him doing what should get us excited and expect something to happen. A couple things about this. First of all, he saw the people and he saw they were hungry and needy. He saw they were sheep with no shepherd. I preached about this in chapel, our last chapel on Thursday. And I'm not going to re-preach that, but you know, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are dumb. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're dumb. We need a shepherd. And he saw them, and he saw some out there that never had a shepherd. And he had compassion on them. But you know, he also saw some that had a shepherd, but they left their shepherd. There's a whole lot of folks like that. But you know, the thing is, he had compassion. Not pity, compassion. And the Bible says he taught them. I can only imagine that he taught them that, you know, God can do anything. God can do anything. I'm sure the disciples, maybe a couple of them were like folks that have been saved for many years, and maybe they said, well, yeah, we've heard this before. I mean, he taught them, and the disciples somehow, they got together, and the Bible says when the day was now far spent, I mean, far spent, that means it was probably a pretty long message that he taught. And in my mind, I imagine the disciples, you know, well, we've heard that, and so Jesus takes a little break, and they come to him, and they say, well, it's a desert place, and boy, people are getting kind of tired, and people are getting hungry, and it's supper time, and, you know, good Baptists have to eat. And they recommend that he send them away. But, you know, Jesus has compassion. Send them away! What are they doing? They're looking at the obstacles and not looking at the miracle man right there. Send them away. Send them away from the fountain of living water. Send them away from he who is the bread of life. Well, they're hungry. He's the bread. They're scattered. He's the shepherd. Send them away? No. God, you know, God has unlimited resources. So his disciples look at the obstacles instead of looking at the Savior who's in front of them, the one who can work a miracle. I'm going to tell you, Jesus never sends away. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He never sends away. You ever come to church and look at somebody and say, there's no hope for them? We piously say, well, I would never do that. You've done it. You've looked at folks, and maybe they goofed off during the service, and you just shake your head like, oh, brother. Wonder why they came. See, I wonder why you came. I'm glad they came, because they'll get an opportunity. Jesus never sends anyone away. You know, he always knows he can help anyone. Now, they may refuse. They may reject him. I understand all that. But God has unlimited resources. I could just imagine a disciple, you know, Jesus, a couple of those people, their guts are growling awful loud. They need to get out of here. Nobody can hear because of their guts. Jesus doesn't look at the problem. He just figures out, well, I am the solution. And he is the solution. There is no sin so big he can't handle it. There's no sorrow so big that he can't handle it. There is no trial so big that he can't handle it. He doesn't have to send anyone away. He'll never send you away. You just need to come to him. Okay? There will always be the disciple mentality of, we just can't handle this, but Jesus never has that mentality. With God, all things are possible. And again, you know, let me remind you, the disciples, these are good people. These are godly men. And it isn't long after a great miracle, they're out here and they're doing the exact same thing with a basket of miracle in their lap. And they're rowing and they're panicking. How are we going to make it through this thing? You just keep forgetting. He can do anything. He can do anything. And so Jesus says, give ye them to eat. And they still can't figure it out. And they all get together, and these disciples get together, and they go to Tim and they say, Tim, do we have money in the budget? And Tim does his job and says, no. We don't have that kind of money. Nobody has that kind of money. There's 20,000 people out here. A couple of them are seniors in high school, and they eat a lot. Come on, there's Jesus, you don't understand. He says, give ye them to eat. Well, we could go buy some bread. By the way, this amount, it's they're not going to feed these people. There was nothing they had, but there was something Jesus had. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, why do we run buses? To bring people to Jesus. Look, we're going to have a vacation Bible school, and we're going to give out some cute little prizes and some strange kinds of prizes, and we're going to have a wonderful, fun time with that. And why we do it? We do it to bring people to Jesus. Everything is to bring people to Jesus. Somebody says, oh, I went to junior church and they gave me a candy bar. Well, wonderful. That isn't why you came to junior church, though. You came to junior church so we could introduce you to Jesus Christ, who's greater than a candy bar. He's greater than the loaves and the fishes. He can take care of all your needs. Don't forget, Christian, He has. He has. Hey, what's in your lap today? What's in your lap today? He fed you. He provided for you. He took care of you. He can again. He will again. We are more than conquerors. We have the victory. Consider the loaves. Consider the loaves. And when Jesus says, give you them to eat, remember, He's done it before. It isn't hard. I talk about it a lot, and I don't make any apologies for talking about it so much. But we went through Bible college, and God many times provided our meal for us. And the time somebody, there was a knock, I say somebody, I have no idea to this day how it got there, but the knock on our door and there's a sack of groceries on the doorstep, and even included my Chips Ahoy cookies and my Wheaties. I'm telling you, that's a great God. Oh, there were other things in there like vegetables and stuff like that. But what's in your lap, preacher? There's a sack of groceries when I was in Bible college and we didn't have food. There's little muffin things in the back seat of our 1975 Pacer, and there were several sacks of those little muffins, and my wife would take those little muffins and she'd put tomato sauce on them and put whatever kind of sprinkled cheese she could put on it, and she'd put that inside the oven and she'd toast those, and that was pizza. What's in your lap, preacher? There's about a month of $5 bills and five $1 bills, those stuck in my 8-track player every day, $5 or every week for about a month. That's what's in my lap. Aren't you worried about the economy? No, because I'm looking down at my lap. By the way, all I have to do is look at my lap. God's taking good care of me. Some of you could do the same thing. Don't be shocked when He says, give you them to eat. Just say, you just tell me what I'm supposed to do next, Jesus. Don't you dare be shocked. Don't you dare think there's a problem that God can't take care of. When you're at work and somebody says, oh, I got this problem and I don't know what I'm going to do, you better be ready to jump in and say, hey, I know somebody who's got the way to take care of your problem. I mean, this is it. Now's the time, folks. People are hurting big time. And you've got the answer in your lap. You've seen him work. You've watched it happen. Give ye them to eat, he says. Nothing's too big for him. He can handle it. He can handle it. Oh, there's this sinner. You know, Brother Nixon is the perfect man for our Reformers Unanimous program. He really is. Because he really does. He just believes God can do anything. There's folks, I'm serious. We have, and it's sad. It breaks my heart that there are Baptist Pharisees. Or as John said, Pharisites. It breaks my heart. It really does. That we would ever think there's somebody God can't help. So we would insult them. So we would become pious and stick our stinking nose up in the air at some sinner who's either not saved or they're not right with God, and we would think we're better than them somehow and that God can't change them, and we wouldn't get excited about God changing them. We'd just be ready to cast them off. And Jesus says, hey, wait a minute. Hey, give them to eat. Well, I don't know how we could do. Look in your lap. Look what he did for you. You see, I think you ought to move on to the next point. I think you need to consider the loaves. Consider the loaves. Number four, we see his command. In verse 39, I love this. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. You know, in verse 38, when Jesus says, how many loaves have ye, go and see? I mean, seriously, who is the disciple that would go and see? And do you really think we have enough? Can you imagine being the disciple that came and said, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can you imagine? Tim, we need $1 million. Go see how much we have in the budget. And he comes and says, well, we have $25. Can you imagine? I mean, just think about that. We need $1 million. We have 25. And he's looking at me like, now what you going to do? Jesus says, great, have them all sit down. What? Have them, make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples got to do it. That's what's awesome to me. Isn't it great to be able to take the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes all over the community? Isn't that great? We get to distribute it. That's so good. Huh? Whew. In Matthew 14, Jesus says, bring it to me. I like those words, bring it to me. Bring your problem, bring your need, bring your ability, bring whatever you have. In Jesus' hands, 5 loaves and 2 fishes becomes hundreds of loaves and hundreds of fishes. Thousands of loaves and thousands of fishes. Doesn't matter. You say, well, I can't do much. Well, 5 loaves and 2 fishes can't do much either. In fact, the average guy in here, yeah, that'd probably do a pretty good job towards your one meal or snack. The people sat down. They obeyed. They did what they needed to do. And verse 39, they all sat down and they had to listen and they had to pay attention. And God's going to do something great. And his power. Where'd all that food come from, preacher? God's power. God's oven in heaven's pretty big. Come on. Think about the millions of people he fed with manna every day. Every day, right out of the oven of heaven. Amen. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. And the disciples distribute it. Number 5, we see the consequences. Verse 42, they did all eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled. They didn't all just get a little crumb. They didn't all get just a little bite. They all ate and were filled. Skinny people were filled. Chunky people were filled. Teenagers were filled. That's a miracle of God right there. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men, plus women and children. And they did all eat and were filled. They're passing the baskets around. And everybody's eating, and everybody's eating, and everybody's eating, and everybody's still eating. And these are typical folks here. They're going to eat and eat and eat until they're full. That's what we do. The meal was suitable. They all ate. By the way, it didn't matter how rich they were, how poor they were. They all ate. It was satisfying. By the way, Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. And it was sufficient. If they left hungry, it was their own fault. By the way, if you leave here hungry, it's your own fault. If you leave, you know, if you leave church when the Bible is being preached and you're not satisfied, then it's your own fault. I'm just not as excited as I used to be. That's your fault. Because I promise you this, He is sufficient. And He satisfies. You don't have to be, you know, every now and then somebody say, well, I go to church, but I'm still hungry. It's your own fault. To be honest with you, if you have a King James Bible and you're hungry, that's your fault. That's your fault that you're hungry. Read it. Read it. I say all that to say, if you can imagine the crowds leaving, I hate to, in my sanctified vision of all this taking place, I see folks belching. I'm sorry. I feel bad about it, but that's, I do. Brent, I'm sorry. I have to be true, speaking the truth in love. But I do. I see. I think they're not being rude. But I notice I had to look at this front row. I don't think they're rude. I think they're all dignified and that. But I just see them. I see them. You know, they're very content. And everybody clears out. They're all leaving now. They've been fed. They've been taught. Amen. And they've seen a miracle. You got to understand. Everybody has just witnessed a great miracle take place. All right. Many are going to go to the Corbins after the service. They have an open house there, and it'd just be kind of fun if all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we'll just see what happens. Huh. But I just watch it all clearing out, Brother Hawkins, and folks, you know, typical Baptist, after eating, they're full. And when you're full, you know, what comes next? Dessert. No, you're full. You don't eat dessert when you're full. Okay? What comes after you're full? Yeah. Yeah. I wish it did in your case. No. The thing that comes next is a nap. Amen. So several they're taking their Baptist nap and everything. And the disciples, you know, they're still trying to figure out, what are we going to do? And it's already done. You ever been there? Yeah. And straightway, that's what I like. Verse 45, that means right away, straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And he goes to the mountain to pray. What's he praying? Lord, help him to get it. Father, help him to get it. What are they doing? They're carrying those baskets with them. You know, every now and then, they're typical Baptists. They're full. But every now and then, they do grab a piece of fish and chew on a little bit. Amen. I mean, you have to do that, right? And I see him. I see him carrying those baskets. They get on the ship and put that basket in their lap, grab the oars, and you know, they take off. And all of a sudden, the storm hits. What are we going to do? Yeah, consider the loaves. Consider the loaves. We've all been there. You know, I'm not getting after the disciples. I'm getting after me. Because how many times have I stared the miracle? Stared right at it and said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Okay, consider the loaves today. What has God done? What has He done for you? What? How many miracles has he performed? What great thing did he just do for you? Okay, now, whatever is looming in the distance, whatever, lightning, thunder, the wind, the waves. Okay, just remember, consider the loaves. Let's bow our heads, please.